Yes, my friends, you've tuned in to the right place. This is Forward Radio, WFMP LP Louisville 106.5 FM, broadcasting to Louisville on the FM dial and to the world at forwardradio.org, which is also the place to go, my friends, to get involved in this here community radio station. Become a part of it. Click on participate and learn how you can get your voice on these airwaves. And click on donate to become a listener sponsor of this station. It only costs about $20 a day to keep the station on the air. Otherwise, we're totally volunteer powered, but we don't have any grants or advertising to cover that 20 bucks a day to keep the lights on here. So we rely on people like you taking a second to dig into their wallets and help us stay on the air. It's really a great community resource. 24/7 we're broadcasting from the Hayborn building here in downtown Louisville, and you can become a part of it at forwardradio.org. Well, my name is Justin Mogg. I'm the host of your weekly deep dive into all things sustainable here on Sustainability Now. And this program has been cranking for over a year now, and I'm thinking about how long it's been, or how quickly that time has flown, I should say, because the guest with me in the studio today was my very first guest on Sustainability Now. Welcoming back for a reprisal Chris Glasser, Executive Director of Bicycling for Louisville. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Justin.
Oh, man, it's so good to have you back here. Remember that? Like April?
It's good to be here.
2017. When
we were so young.
There were
so many hopes.
Hopes and dreams, and this station was just a little baby fresh out of the womb. And yeah, we've got so much. We've grown so much as a station. Still more room on our airways for you to get on. And the city has grown quite a bit in that year, too. And you may have heard, too, Bicycling for Louisville has become a community partner of this station. We're really grateful to have the support of nonprofits like B4L. You know, B4L's recognized the need for a different kind of media, for a different way to get progressive messages out and community-based grassroots messages out on the airwaves and out to the public. And so B4L has stepped up to support. If you're out there and you're a part of a board of a nonprofit in town, again, go to forwardradio.org, click on participate or donate, and you can figure out how your organization could become a sponsor. But I mention all that because you may have heard on these airwaves some of my conversations with Chris and others at B4L. As a part of that community sponsorship, Forward Radio helps facilitate the creation of some podcasts, microcasts for the organization. You may have heard our conversation that we had in January, February, when we were talking about priorities for 2018. And the excuse to get Chris back in the studio today is that Metro Government's new budget is out for the fiscal year 2019. We're in July, my friends, and the new budget is here. We had many conversations about what it should look like, and now we can talk about what it actually looks like. And at the end of June, on June 28th, Chris published an article on Insider Louisville as part of the Streets for People series called A Multimodal Analysis of the Fiscal Year 19 Budget. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Chris, you write that Metro Government this year has pledged about something on the order of $4 million for projects that may not just be for cars. for projects on our streets that might help us get towards multimodal, and that $4 million is leveraging maybe about another $12 million or so in grants. It's a variety of different projects, but you sort of start off the article asking this question of, is that much? Is that a lot of money? And I guess I want to hear your reflection on that. I mean, what do you feel like? Do you feel like that's a reasonable amount, or is that just a drop in the bucket here and we've got to do so much better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is definitely helpful to understand the context for the overall $16 million that the city is putting towards multimodal projects. And $16 million sounds like a lot of money, is a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that $16 million is a lot of money. But again, understanding it within the context of a city budget and how other projects are funded and things like that. So just some what I think are interesting facts, you know, to put that in perspective, is that the overall budget for the city is about $875 million.
Wow. 875, and that's not including those federal grants that have been leveraged.
That does. Okay. Yes, when the city calculates its budget, it does include the federal grants that
okay
it's receiving.
I got you.
But the federal grants mostly go into the capital projects budget,
right?
And so there's like kind of an operating budget that's about $750 million. And then there is a capital projects budget that's about $125 million. And so that's the breakdown. So that's about, trying to think, about 90% of the overall budget is an operating budget, whereas the last kind of 10-12% is this capital projects budget. So then you get into, okay, what piece of the capital projects budget is going into...
Right, we're starting to slice the pie kind of thin here, but this is how we get down to actual projects on the streets, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I think just again, providing some context on that overall $16 million that's in the capital projects budget for multimodal projects. By comparison, the city has allocated $18 million for street repaving this year, and that goes back for 3 or 4 years running. The city has allocated about $20 million in street repaving funds.
Right.
So that's like at this point, we've invested over $100 million or about $100 million in simply repaving our street.
Does that include building new roads, like way out in the new suburbs and that kind of thing?
No.
Okay.
That's not what it is considered for. It's repaving existing roads.
Okay, which, you know, benefits all modes to some degree.
Yeah, and it is interesting. I know that the council has actually pushed for more, like, local roads to be to be used with repaving funds, which, you know, means, like, your neighborhood street that you or I might live on gets, like, kind of higher consideration. At first, the city was... really more only considering like the kind of arterials.
Thoroughfares, yeah.
Which I think there's debates on both sides. Like, yeah, you want the quality of the streets that people are living on to be good. But by comparison, there's like the number of people using, you know, Christie Ave and Original Highlands versus, you know, what are using Barrett Ave or Kentucky Street. You know, there's an order of magnitude more people using these arterials. And so... you know, as crummy as Christie or, you know, which I just know because I bike on it fairly regularly. And it's like pretty bumpy, but it's like, you know, I don't know. Does that deserve priority or not? But again, just to put it in context, the $18 million for repaving, this goes back a number of years, you know, and then another kind of big budget item that's in the capital projects budget going back many years is $12 million for affordable housing. And that is like something... really, that's been a priority for Metro Council and the mayor for about 3 years, I would say, going back, that they've really started funding that. And that's great. Like, yeah, no complaints. It's just kind of, again, just to put it in context. Another point of context would say the kind of tree canopy funding for the city is about $500,000 per year. And arguably, you know, again, I think arguably... there's a lot of press given to it. There's a lot of, I think...
a lot of attention.
A lot of attention goes to that, but does a lot of money go to that? That's debatable.
Yeah. So that's sort of the context for this $4 million in Metro government leveraging $12 million.
Yeah, and I didn't even answer your question. Yeah. Which was
Does that feel like a reasonable amount for projects that can hopefully sort of reshape our city into a more walkable, bikeable, neighborhood-friendly place?
Yeah, and I think it's certainly, I have no problem with any of the projects that are in the budget. They seem totally appropriate and great. I think the real question for me is like some of the really interesting projects in the budget this year are actually like planning and study projects.
I noticed that,
so there's a two-way traffic model, which is great. That's like the first step towards two-waying a number of our urban streets. Totally important, totally
basically
necessary.
Basically studying what would happen if we converted these one-way, five-lane corridors into two-way streets.
Yeah, and that's an awesome budget item, and I think the city allocated $70,000 for the study to match a larger grant that they had received. And that's great. $70,000 isn't a lot of money in a city budget. Right. And the real question comes in next year, in 2 years.
What do we do?
In 3 years, is two-waying streets... going to become a thing like the Affordable Housing Trust Fund?
Is it going to become
a thing like the repaving budget, where every year Metro Council and the mayor understand that this is something that they've studied, and they understand that $5 million or $8 million a year or whatever it is, I don't know what it is, that's the point of the study, is going towards solving this problem. So that's the case with two-lane streets. That's the case with Broadway. That's the case with 9th Street, is that right now we're making the very important first step with a lot of these projects of like drawing up a plan for redesigning them. You can't not do the first step. But in terms of funding, the biggest hurdle to clear is going to be actually paying for the redesign that gets proposed.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's going to be, you know, Ninth Street goes into, you know, interstate system. It's going to be, that's going to be over $10 million easy to do that. And does the city, how is the city going to find the funding for that remains to be seen. And I have no idea about that.
Yeah. I appreciate why you're answering the question the way you are, because it's very hard to say whether this is enough of an investment or not. Especially when you're starting in the city facing so many challenges already, you know, you want to fix them all. You and I are very aware of what these challenges are and very aware of the benefits that could come to the city in terms of health and livability and economic vitality and all that stuff if we just fix these problems. But, you know, it's not all going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in one budget year. So it's hard. It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, it's the right budget allocation for this year.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of these projects, you know, if there's a there's any like caveat to that, it's like, yeah, you wish it had happened before and it's worthless unless something comes out of it down the road. And so, yeah, to your point, it's kind of an incomplete. I can't even answer the question completely or fully until it's 2024 or something like that, and we've seen what the funding has been for these things that are being planned.
Yeah. Now, you didn't write about this in your article in Insider Louisville, which, again, I encourage people to check out at insiderlouisville.com. You can search for the Streets for People series, and this is Chris Glasser's article on a multimodal analysis of the FY19 budget. But I'm starting to wonder if anything about this year's budget is shaped by the fact that we're in an election year, and even the mayor is up for election. Do you feel like this is at all politically influenced?
Oh, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it that much. I will say that there are budget items that potentially Fisher is leaning into issues that people to his right like to criticize him on, like the Angel Elites of the world,
interesting.
At least on the most multimodal stuff, where he's like, you know, he's like allocating funds for a total redesign of Broadway and a total redesign of Ninth Street. They're actually having public meetings on that redesign of Ninth Street.
Right, that's right. I'll be announcing that in our community calendar.
All throughout July.
Mm-hmm.
And those plans are, you know, the models that they're showing are like based out of cities like Toronto, you know, and I think if you're Fisher, you're saying like, this is what we're aiming for. This is the target. And if you're someone like Angela Leet, who's running against him and has like tried to make some hay off of, criticizing his bike infrastructure budget in years past, you know, like he's opening you up to criticize him there. And I don't know. I mean, I'll be interested to see how much play that gets, you know, as we move into October and early November. But it's tough for me to say, not knowing the intricacies, like if the mayor's staff feels like they're shying away from it or leaning into it. I don't know.
And what about the council itself? I mean, some of those folks are up for re-election. Any thoughts there about?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some folks who are retiring, some people who voted out.
Got nothing to lose. I'll vote for it.
You know, like I know one of the vocal critics of funding for multimodal projects throughout the years has been a councilwoman, Barbara Shanklin, kind of in the Newburgh area of town. And she's been very critical. She's a Democrat, but has thought that there's been better ways to spend public money than multimodal stuff, specifically bike lanes. She's been critical of. She's on her way out, but every year with Councilwoman Shanklin has been like it feels like the Courier Journal goes to her for a quote, and she like just takes a big dump on, for lack of a better term, on bike lanes. And that's just like every year, that's just the thing that happens. Whereas I'm thinking of like any council person that's come out one way or the other. You know, I honestly just feel like within the city, with council, crime is a much bigger talking point. When I hear them giving quotes, it's on those things. And the council members who even do get quoted on multimodal stuff are like the Hollanders and the Cohens of the world, sort of the urban white liberal side of the council.
Yeah. And you've got a nice pie chart, several pie charts, actually.
Got all the pie charts.
In the Insider Louisville article, and Metro Police Capital Projects budget is just, that's 1.5% of the capital projects budgets for the city of Louisville. So despite all this talk about crime, and of course, operational budget is where you find a lot of the police enforcement stuff. But in terms of building capital projects, Metro Police is pretty low on the list, below Parks and Rec, even, for crying out loud. We're putting more capital projects in our Parks and Rec. And yeah, I don't hear as much talk about those kinds of things. Or the library, 3.7%.
Yeah, it is interesting the way there's some interesting ways they say what goes into what slice of the pie. Like, actually, there is some like sort of facilities stuff that goes into, I think it's the facilities piece of the budget.
Yeah, 24% is for facilities.
Which is actually related. There is some like police stuff in there. Oh, okay. And I don't understand why that's not considered a police capital projects.
Right.
But yeah, you're totally right. The police does get a huge piece of the budget, but it's mostly in operational stuff, not in capital projects, which makes sense.
Yeah. My guest today here on Sustainability Now is Chris Glasser, Executive Director of Bicycling for Louisville. We're talking about the piece he wrote on June 28th in Insider Louisville on the Streets for People series, a multimodal analysis of the fiscal 19 budget. And you mentioned several times already this pushback against Fisher and the others in Metro government for being too focused on bike lanes. And that's really interesting, because one of the things that even Bicycling for Louisville has started to move away from is bicycle only accommodations. Not that we have any objection to bike lanes, although there are some cyclists in this town who will push back against them. But what we really want to see is street design that works for all road users. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, totally. And I think the first project that I highlighted from this budget to be excited about, that I think is actually really one of the great projects in the city moving us in that direction, is the East Market Street redesign.
Let's talk about East Market.
In Nulu,
yeah,
where they are removing one of the eastbound driving lanes and replacing it with...
What, there's three right now?
So there's currently four lanes total, three of which are eastbound, one of which is westbound.
And this is a stretch of East Market from First to Baxter.
Yeah. So, yeah, the kind of the Nulu area, just east of what's called the Central Business District. And yeah, so they are taking it from three eastbound driving lanes to two, and using that extra space that has come from that driving lane and adding streetscaping stuff, wider sidewalks, and a bike lane, a separated bike lane, meaning that it will be on the other side of the parked cars.
Wow.
Which is great, which means...
That
which
will
is
be a first for our city, yeah.
Which, yeah, just adds an element of safety and convenience for people on bike. And so, yeah, so I think it's... When we talk about just designing streets for people, it's like considering the space for pedestrians, considering the space for people on bike, and that means giving them a space to be, but also like planting trees so that when they are walking down the street, it's a pleasant street to be on, and also calming traffic on the street such that they don't feel like a car is going by them at 45 miles an hour, or giving like a pedestrian lead signal at an intersection, just like to give them the kind of right of way over cars. These are all things that make streets more streets for people, and as opposed to streets strictly for efficiently moving automotive traffic.
Yeah, and this is why Bicycling for Louisville organized a tree planting this past spring on Floyd Street in Old Louisville, in one particular block that, man, is just devoid of trees for sidewalk walkers as well as people on the streets. So thank you, Chris, for organizing that. And it was fun to take part of, and all those trees are alive and well. I pass by them on my commute.
I love
many days. And
love seeing those
it's
trees.
Good seeing them there. Yeah,
it's so nice. Like the trees is like we were able to plant trees. It's just one block, but you feel you can like see them and feel them and watch them grow. And there's just like something so satisfying about that. I'm very jealous of like the Louisville Grows, advocates of the world who like get to see their work growing literally, and it's just like there's something just like so like kind of emotionally rewarding about watching seeing that. But yeah, again, trees are a great way to make
streets for people.
Yeah. So that, thank you for organizing that. That's just one example of how Bicycling for Louisville is evolving to support this concept. And what we're talking about today is the whole Metro government's 2019 budget, which has just come out. And there are 15 projects that you pull out of that capital budget that look like they may make the city more multimodal. And it accounts for a total, again, of $16 million in funding if you add on the external money. And it's $4 million worth of Metro money. And looking at this, you know, chart you've got, it looks like the city's going to invest another $500,000 in bicycle infrastructure specifically. But then again, there's a lot of things that are outside of bike only. And you pull out of that 15 projects, five that you think are the most important and really will help us move beyond cars.
Yeah.
And East Market Street is certainly one of them. But let's talk about some more about what you already mentioned, that two-way traffic model. It's called, for some reason, the Central Business District traffic model, but you point out that that's kind of a misnomer because the study area that they're talking about looking at one-way streets in includes Butchertown, Phoenix Hill, Smoketown, Limerick, Old Louisville, Russell, Shawnee, Portland, and U of L's Belknap campus. Well, that's hardly the Central Business District. All of those places, though, are kind of have long suffered a model of transportation that is get them out of the city as quick as you can.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so yeah, that's a great budget item. Very excited to see that moving forward. And I do think, you know, that study is great. You know, also to our chagrin, it's like, you know, it's only happening now and FY19, but it is an important, you know, undeniable step in this process that there just needs to be a comprehensive study of these streets in order to get the funding for them down the road. And this is how things move through the process. Like, it is a multi-year process, and there are a number of studies that the city has done. I think there is often some frustration of like, oh, the city's doing another study. But actually the city is, yeah, they've done studies, and then they've like go out and fund the things that they've done studies on. So like, yes, they did a study on the need for affordable housing, and they created the Affordable Housing Land Trust, and now they fund the Affordable Housing Land Trust.
Finally.
You know, and yeah, delayed. And again, if you're a housing advocate, which I love those people, like grateful for all those people that have put in years of hard work to make that a community concern, because it is and should be, and that's awesome. You know, and now here we are, and every year the council just loves, and you know, and the mayor too, to fund affordable housing in the city as a way to spur development and get developers to include affordable housing in what they're doing. And that is just, that's just the process, and that was the process with repaving before it, and you know, the urban tree canopy stuff. So here we are with two-way streets. We're doing the study. I think the thing that's maybe I'm hopeful about is that there are a number of streets that are just like total no-brainers. Like, you don't really need to study them to be like, yeah, we should repave.
No.
Like, you know, I think maybe you and I would be like, you know, yeah, all of them. You don't need to study. Just do it. Stop freaking, you know, messing around with this. But like stuff like 15th and 16th Street in near West Louisville. Like,
why not?
Like, they have like 3,000 cars per day on them. You can do that with one lane. That's not a lot of traffic at all. You know, the streets like Jefferson Street coming into downtown, which is being converted, you know, like it has four lanes for westbound traffic. It, you know, there's no world in which you need four lanes to move the, you know, Jefferson has some traffic on it, maybe like 10,000 cars per day. It's like two lanes worth of traffic, arguably maybe one. And we have four lanes. I mean, you can be on Jefferson Street in downtown Louisville at lunch hour, and it's just a
tumbleweeds.
It's a ghost town. It's crazy. Like, the thing that makes me optimistic is that there is so much asphalt space to be used.
Oh yeah, it's a huge opportunity.
It is. If we just recognize that, it could be so easy. It's just like, we have so much space. We have 60 feet of asphalt on Jefferson Street, and we have very modest traffic volumes now.
Yeah.
Like, we can make that a multimodal street. And the real question then becomes political will. And the first piece of political will is funding.
Right.
In fiscal year 2020, in fiscal year 2021. So on and so on and so on.
There's two things I want to ask about this two-way stuff. First of all, in terms of this isn't the first time the city's looked at this, right? Because, for example, we got Brook Street and First Street in Old Louisville converted years ago now. It seems
like 2011.
It couldn't have been that long ago, but yeah, it was 2011. And what a success that's been. But what's different, I think, about this time is that they're looking citywide. They're trying to address or study the whole kit and caboodle and not just one road or two roads that are paired, right?
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I forgot what my second question about it was, so maybe we'll loop back to it. But I did want to ask you about the loop, speaking of that. So part of the money that's budgeted this year for Metro government's $4 million that they're investing is in extending the Louisville Loop, as well as the Urban Bike Network, which we're both huge fans of. But tell me about this Louisville Loop extensions to the Ohio River Levee Trail way southwest at Jefferson County. And then out at Beckley Station Road near the Parklands way southeast, Jefferson County. What are these really going to do for transportation?
Yeah, great point. And, you know, You called my bluff, Mog. You called my bluff. Am I excited about those projects? I am not.
You don't want to ride 100 miles in one day on the Grand Ohio Louisville Loop? I mean,
I know. I do feel like Debbie Downer when I feel like there are a number of people who come up. Like, the thing I get asked about more than anything else
is
like,
that Louisville Loop.
Yeah. What are they doing on the loop? Are they expanding the loop? Oh, I love the loop. I love, you know.
Really? People say they love it.
People do. People want more. More loop,
I think people want off street trails.
But yeah, I mean, I think the thing is I think the people who I hear from saying that are not the kind of riders of bicycles that you and I are. They are it is a recreational population and group. I would say that say that it's not. I mean, I've never ridden my bike on the Louisville Loop out by the Parklands. I've never been out in southwest Jefferson County to ride my bike. If I did, I would have to drive.
Yeah, right.
You know,
which is what people do. That's exactly what they do.
For 30 minutes to get there.
Yep, yep.
And that, to me, is not the purpose. That's not the point. That's not the thing we're talking about. So, yeah, you called my bluff. I'm not super stoked about that. If there's any, I don't know.
You put it in your top five, though.
I did. The argument I would make for it is that getting people on bikes gets people to understand the vulnerability one feels when they're on a bike.
Oh, and that's interesting. I thought you were going to go the other way and say gets them to understand how incredibly fun it is.
I mean, that too. But I think there has to be a starting point for people, and people, you know, riding on a suburban trail maybe really enjoy that experience. And you know, let's say you're, you know, a kid growing up and go and ride the Louisville Loop, and then you go to U of L and you just like aren't really comfortable riding on these on-street facilities around campus, and you understand that like there is a difference between on-street bike lanes, which are great to a certain extent, and then off-street facilities, and there is like a spectrum of what a safe facility is, and that as a city, you know, we need to be moving towards just like more fully separated facilities. And we are. And that to me, the really exciting project is the one that's like connected to this in my article, which is actually the trail that's being built on Barrett Avenue.
Right now, on the streets right now, you can go out and see it under construction. This is our first, since I moved here in 2009, the first off-street bike facility that's been built anywhere inside the Watterson.
Yeah. Yeah, this
is right.
This is
maybe
yeah,
not totally
this is
right.
A unique,
maybe something down at the waterfront park, but anyway, something that will get you somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah, this to me is a really exciting project, and like
and again, it's at Barrett and Castlewood in the Highlands.
Yeah. So one thing, it's this is an area that, you know, services a need for connecting neighborhoods like the Germantown neighborhood to the Tyler Park neighborhood to the Highlands in general. And right now, just with all the kind of cemeteries through there, there aren't a lot of roads, period, that get you through there. And so the roads that do exist are very high traffic, often pretty high speed. It's like Eastern Parkway, Winter / Oak, or Barrett Castlewood. And these are the roads that connect kind of the Germantown area to the Highlands area. And so, yeah, there aren't a lot of options, and there's certainly no safe options. And this is what, this will be a really safe, separated facility on Barrett and Castlewood. And I'm stoked about this. This is awesome. This is something that literally, okay, so here's the timeline on this project. In 2015, I proposed this project to Rolf. And in 2016... And
Rolf Isinger is our city public works bike ped coordinator.
Yeah, so proposes project 2015 to the city. In 2016, they have a public meeting for it. So about 14 months later, they have their first public meeting on this project.
I was at one. It was actually fairly contentious.
Yeah, it was. In 2017, there was all of this utility work that was occurring on Winter and an Oak adjacent to this area. And so they delayed the project. So here we are in 2018.
Because they didn't want to repave and restripe and just have the contractors come in and dig it all up again, which is smart.
Yeah, totally. And then 2018, here we are. It is, you know, literally as we speak, there is work being done, you know.
And if you're not familiar with the area, this is a classic Louisville, four lane road with no shoulder at all, only a sidewalk on one side, which, by the way, folks, is technically illegal for someone to ride their bike on, despite the fact that people tell me to get on the sidewalk all the time on my bike. And now they're actually building a facility that will be kind of like a sidewalk that cyclists are supposed to go on, because it's designed for both cyclists and pedestrians. It's wider, better curb cuts, I suppose. Tell us a little bit more about what it's going to look like.
Yeah, so on the kind of western, northwesternmost end of it, you know, along Barrett, it's gonna terminate near Winter Ave, and it's gonna be an off-street
raised up curb.
Yeah, shared use path, meaning that both people, you know, on foot and on bike, are, you know, allowed to, supposed to be using this facility. It's going to be about 10 feet wide. And then once you get to Castlewood, it's going to convert into, it's going to be on the street level, but it's going to be protected by like bollards. And so Castlewood currently is a 3-lane street, 1 lane in one direction and 2 lanes in the other direction, which is totally unnecessary. It's just going to be 1 lane and 1 lane. And they're going to add the bike facility on the side of the street. Tyler Park side of the street, I guess is the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
So that'll, the total facility is about a mile long. It's going to connect on the Tyler Park side. It's going to connect into Tyler Park, and then it's going to have a really nice connection to Ellison, which gets you into Germantown. And then there's also this connection sort of into the original Highlands area. And that, I think that's great. And I think it'll be like a really nice connection for people coming out of downtown, for people coming out of Germantown into the Highlands. And I'm also curious, I hope that there's like momentum with this project, that it builds into potentially continuing, that there's a phase two to this project. I would love to see the Barrett treatment continue all the way to, let's say, Breckenridge Street.
Oh, that'd be
so
nice.
And so then you have a, you know, fully protected a facility all the way into these, you know, very wide, very nice bike lanes that exist. And so there is, you know, great connectivity all the way from the Highlands into all the way into downtown. And that would just be a fantastic, safe, convenient facility in the urban core that would, I think, just really promote a great cycling experience.
And how about once you get to Tyler Park, you have a ramp to go up the stairs that are underneath of Baxter.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see how that goes. Like, there is a Tyler Park master plan that is in the works that is talking about including a ramp that underneath the overpass. Whether that ramp is actually accessible, bike friendly, is something for some reason I cannot get a straight answer on, and no one seems to even like know what is going on. And I don't understand that. Like, and I think that maybe speaks to like a disconnect between Public Works, who they handle the on-street facilities, and then Metro Parks, which handles the stuff that handles in the parks. And they're, I think there's just like not great communication between those two departments about, oh, we have this great facility that's happening on Castlewood.
Yeah, right there.
Leads right into your park purposefully. We purposely let it into the park. But like, and you're doing a master, you know, a total redesign of Tyler Park. Could there be a ramp? And Councilman Cohen has not been able to say what's happening. Rolf Isinger, you know, the bike ped coordinator has not been able to say what's happening there. So
it's suspicious.
It's
it makes you wonder.
It's confusing, suspicious, weird, disappointing. That said, I think this facility will be just a great connection point that people are just going to immediately use. And you know, honestly, people on foot are going to use the heck out of this facility too.
I was just going to say
that that's going to be awesome. Like, there's going to be so many like moms with strollers,
they flood Tyler Park, man.
And just going to be, oh, we can actually walk down the street, you know, to get to this park that's in our neighborhood and not have this. Like, currently there is a five foot, four foot sidewalk with like
right
telephone poles.
Yeah, yeah.
And like often the telephone poles are taking up 2 feet of the sidewalk.
Yep.
And it's a mess. And it's on the wrong side of the street from the park. Mm-hmm. And you're just like.
And the crossings there at that crazy three way intersection, Castlewood and Barrett, are so poor. The visibility's poor. The distances were poor. So the redesign of that whole turning radius is going to be nice, too. So I'm excited about that. My guest today here on Sustainability Now is Chris Glasser, Executive Director of Bicycling for Louisville. And we're talking about the city's budget for this brand new year, fiscal year that just started, and his insider Louisville article, Streets for People, a Multimodal Analysis of the FY19 Budget. The city's going to put in about $4 million by Chris's accounting for multimodal projects and leverage about $12 million more in external funding. And we're talking about some of the top projects for multimodal folks here in Louisville. And let's get to number four, the 9th Street redesign. You know, people have been complaining about the 9th Street divide for many years. And as you point out, it's really not just 9th Street. It's a multi-block gulf of surface parking lots from 5th to 9th. But what is the thinking for at least redoing 9th Street?
Yeah, so the city is actually all through the month of July presenting their initial design concept. And they have three design concepts for the redesign of 9th Street. All of them are based off existing facilities that are out there in the world someplace. The preferred treatment that they are putting out there is one that's based off of a main corridor in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
And so it calls for moving.
Because there is a lot of space there. When you think about that big, wide median that, I mean, it's nice that it's not asphalt, but it's not doing anything for anybody. And the trees even in it are kind of small and in need of care and looking sickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not an accessible median.
Not a park. Yeah.
Accessible median at all. And so they're moving traffic kind of all over to one side and then putting the bike and pedestrian facilities on the on the other side. And it will, you know, there will be trees there as well. The initial concept doesn't seem to like that they're keeping the median there. I think they're just, it's going to be kind of like wipe everything out.
Yeah,
start all over again. Yeah, so this is a super important first step, you know, towards redoing 9th Street. And it was part of the Move Louisville plan that they put out, Metro Louisville put out a few years back that you and I went and talked to Metro officials about when it came out. And, you know, it is encouraging to see that, you know, there was a kind of a comprehensive plan on for the city overall. And then they identified projects and the projects that, you know, that you and I rooting for. I think we both have a lot of ambivalence about the Move Louisville plan, feeling like it maybe didn't go far enough. I would completely still feel that way. But the projects that we were excited about and support, to see them moving forward is great.
Yeah.
And this is, again, this is a project moving forward. And people have been talking for generations about the 9th Street divide. And so, okay, so here is a beginning of a proposal for redoing it, and that's fantastic.
And I will be giving the dates and locations and times for all those public meetings where you can give your comments in our community calendar in just a minute, so stay tuned, my friends. But the fifth and final project you wanted to highlight is the Broadway Master Plan, and you mentioned that briefly early on. Talk us about that. This is a comprehensive planning effort for a 5.5-mile stretch of roadway that goes all the way from Shawnee Park to Baxter Avenue. And we're not just talking about how do we integrate bikes and pedestrians, but bus rapid transit and transit-oriented development for the quarter. Like, come on, really?
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I mean, there's nothing more to say. You said it, all right there. Yeah, I mean, all those things are great. I mean, they're talking about redoing Broadway, they're talking about all of Broadway. They're talking about Shawnee Park to the west, all the way to its terminus,
which is great. At Baxter. When the city looks at roadways, it often breaks them down into little, like, oh, we can handle this bit east of the interstate or something like that.
Yeah,
but this is the whole thing.
This is the whole thing. Very, you know, comprehensive. They're talking about the BRT project that is, you know, they're working on Dixie Highway. They're talking about.
And
you
know, what is BRT for people who never heard of bus rapid transit? What's that going to look like?
Yeah, the idea with BRT is that the bus experience is a little bit more like, I would say, like riding a streetcar or a subway train or something like that, where there are, in an ideal world, there are stations where you can prepay to before you get on the bus, where when you get on the bus, there you can get on at like different doors. You don't have to come in the front, so that there's like the line that you wait. And then there's also these, when you're waiting for the bus, you have like a
raised platform like that. Yeah.
That makes it easier to load and get off the bus. And so all these things make the busing experience just an improved busing experience. It's like quicker, just more efficient. And so it makes transit just a more viable option for people.
It's also going to have a dedicated lane and better signal timing, or
yes, these are features as well. You're crushing it. You're speaking to the strengths of BRT better than I am. Yeah, totally. They're working on that with Dixie, kind of, you know, talking that like signalization piece, where if a bus is approaching a light that's maybe about to turn yellow and red, the signal like holds on a little extra bit so the bus can come through. So there's like that technology there. And so, you know, just all this sensible technology that, you know, is, you know, I think we can all understand this isn't the most mind-blowing Star Trekian technology out there. We have the means to do this. Yeah. The question is, do we have the funding to do this, or the political will to do this? And yeah, and so the idea with Bardstown Road, with Broadway, is to implement this kind of treatment
That's so awesome.
Here as well. And so this year they will be, you know, beginning that very long process. I think, you know, if it begins to be underway by the time the Fisher administration, you know, assuming Fisher gets reelected and there's 4 more years of Fisher, I think they would love to see it, you know, starting by the time he's like leaving office in 2022.
Okay.
I think that's a realistic time frame for that.
Well, we're about out of time, but I just want to thank you, Chris, for shedding a little bit of light on what this year's budget means for multimodality and for Streets for People. And I think this is a fantastic role for an organization like Bicycling for Louisville to do, is to do exactly that. Shed light on the good, celebrate the good, emphasize what could be done in the future, keep things moving forward, because without citizen advocacy, without groups like B4L, the city just gets kind of stuck in a rut of old way of thinking. And so I'm really excited by the progress we're seeing. And I'm excited that B4L hosted some rides this spring to go look at some of these projects. Maybe on a closing thought, any thoughts from those rides that we did in West Louisville, South Louisville, and the Highlands?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of The last ride we did was in the Highlands, and that's one of the one that's sort of like fresh in my mind. But there's a lot of excitement. I feel like there's a lot of like energy and development happening, and in those areas. And I think Louisville, there is the ability with all the development that's occurring and kind of the urban, eastern piece of the urban core, there's a lot of opportunity for building good bike ped infrastructure there. And I think actually something we talked about a little bit on all the tours is that the eastern part of the city is actually the most challenging because that's the where the grid just stops. Like there's, yeah. there's a great grid in old Louisville and into South Louisville near, you know, to U of L all the way down to Iroquois Park. The things are pretty gridded. And then West Louisville has, yeah, like a great flat grid. And so because of that, it's not arterial and there's a lot of space for building great infrastructure over there. And that's already actually happened. Like some of the best infrastructure in the city exists in West Louisville. And a lot of people don't know about it, you know, that I talk to because my, I guess, you know, sort of my circle is a little bit more East Louisville and South Louisville, but it is there. It is great. And there's been like great gains over there. And, yeah. I do think that there's a possibility with all this development that is occurring in kind of the Paris Town Point neighborhood, Germantown neighborhood, that we can begin to see and hope for some good stuff. And the budget is, it is based on where we were in 2018, it is the thing that we need to be doing in 2019.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good note to end on. Chris Glasser, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, Monk. Appreciate it.
All right. Stay tuned, everyone. Coming up in just a minute, get your pencils sharpened. It's time for your community calendar of events and your chance to get involved in making sustainability happen now, right here in Louisville. Stay tuned.
Song of my soul, keep me singing till I grow old.
With the sweet, sweet sounds of Appalachian, our local favorites, and their brand new album Vita, which has just come out, you are tuned in to Forward Radio, WFMP LP Louisville. We're broadcasting to all of Louisville from the beautiful Hayburn Building in downtown on Broadway at 4th Street here at 106.5 FM. We're also broadcasting to the world online at forwardradio.org. And that is the place to go to become a part of our community radio station, either as a volunteer or donor or supporter. If you got a program you want to pitch to us, go to forwardradio.org. We're also always looking for local music to play on this station, and you can get in touch with us at forwardradio.org if you've got any local music you want us to air. All right, now, sharpen your pencils, my friends. Get your calendars out. It is an active week for sustainability. It will happen now if you help make it happen. And as promised, let's talk about those public meetings to reimagine 9th Street. They are coming up this Tuesday, July 10th, and then also coming up on July 16th and July 28th. Those are the three different dates at which there'll be public meetings on reimagining 9th Street. Louisville Metro government officials are hoping that within 4 years, 9th Street from the riverfront all the way down to Broadway will look less like a hazardous highway on the edge of downtown and more like a version of the Queen's Quay in Toronto. The street has long been considered problematic as it effectively divides downtown from the predominantly minority neighborhoods in the western part of the city, as well as promotes high vehicle speeds and dangerous crossing conditions. Why would anyone want to walk or bike across 9th Street, for crying out loud? Well, Mayor Greg Fisher has announced that it is well past time for the physical and psychological divide at 9th Street to end, and the city has released a draft plan, which you can view at louisvilleky.gov, which was created by consultant Giel Architects with input from residents. It shows three alternatives for 9th Street, but identifies one, known as the Urban Parkway, as the optimal choice, asserting that it would provide adequate vehicle capacity while improving safety for pedestrians and cyclists and creating new public space right there in our downtown. The Urban Parkway plan would make 9th Street a four-lane road, down from 6 lanes, and reduce the lane width to between 10 and 11 feet, down from its current 11 to 14 feet wide lanes. The plan also calls for a bike lane divided from vehicle lanes, a shorter median, a walking path from Broadway to the Ohio River, oh, wouldn't that be nice, and 20 to 25 foot of landscape sidewalks with places to sit, play, and shop. The other two options presented in the draft document are the Urban Boulevard and the Urban Street. Both include similar features, but The Urban Boulevard design focuses on creating a park-like space in a widened median, and the urban street design would reduce the street to 3 lanes total. Mayor Fisher has included $180,000, as you just heard, in his budget for fiscal year 19 to begin formal design work, and the city also has started looking for implementation funding with the goal of starting construction in 2020. Now, starting this year, the city will test changes to 9th Street, including lengthening the time for pedestrians to cross at intersections, installing up lighting near trees in the median, and closing the slip lane at Jefferson Street. People can comment on the draft plan through the end of the month, through July 30th at LouisvilleKY.gov or at one of 3 public events. And I highly encourage you to go to these community events. The first, again, is an open house from 6 to 8 p.m. this Tuesday, July 10th at the Louisville Urban League there at 1535 West Broadway Street. The next opportunity will be at a Metro Council District 5 meeting at 6 p.m. on Monday, July 16th at the Yearlings Club there at 4309 West Broadway. And your third and final opportunity to for a public meeting about 9th Street is at the Bates Memorial Church Extravaganza that's going to take place on Saturday, July 28th from noon to 5 at Shelby Park, 600 East Oak Street. So check out one of those opportunities and get more information at LouisvilleKY.gov. Now, if you want to try and double dip on Tuesday evening, I also highly recommend you check out the Louisville Community Grocery Monthly Meeting. Yes, progress continues to launch a cooperative or community-owned grocery store in our urban core, in one of the areas that has lost groceries. Can we skip the corporate for-profit model and go into a community-owned grocery store model? Well, come on out Tuesday, July 10th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the Joshua Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church that is in the Russell neighborhood at 426 South 15th Street. It's the second Tuesday of every month, your opportunity to learn more about our progress in launching a Louisville community grocery, to get involved and to share your voice. These community meetings are a welcoming space for everyone, whether you're a longtime supporter or newly learning about the community grocery, whether you live in one of the target neighborhoods or you simply believe in the mission. Transparency is essential to the mission, and we want the community to know exactly what they are investing in. What they are investing in, what the group is investing their time in each month. Community meetings typically include a committee breakout session as well. All are welcome to get involved in any committee. And committees that are doing the work to make the co-op happen are community outreach, market research, and finance and fundraising. Learn more at LouisvilleFoodCoop.com or come on out to the Joshua Tabernacle in Russell, 426 South 15th Street on Tuesday the 10th at 5:30 p.m. Now, coming up on Thursday the 12th at high noon, it's the Food in Neighborhoods Community Coalition quarterly meeting taking place at the Common Table Garden Cafe located at 2234 West Market Street. Summer is here and there are many exciting things going on around food in our fair city. So come and learn about ways to get involved, share information about what's happening in your neighborhood and plug into a working group. Come enjoy lunch and conversation about community engagement, food in neighborhoods leadership, advocating around the Farm Bill, and hear ideas and updates from the working groups, which are Advocacy, Urban Agriculture Coalition, and Shop Local. More information about the Community Coalition is available at foodinneighborhoods.org, or you can come on out this Thursday the 12th at noon at the Common Table Garden Cafe on West Market Street. Also coming up Thursday evening, it's the Louisville Grows film series. The next in the series is a film called Resilience, The Biology of Stress and the Science of Hope. These take place at the Louisville Grows Healthy House at 1641 Portland Avenue. Researchers have recently discovered a dangerous biological syndrome caused by abuse and neglect during childhood. As this new documentary Resilience reveals, toxic stress can trigger hormones that wreak havoc on the brains and bodies of children, putting them at greater risk for disease, homelessness, prison time, and early death. So, if you want to learn more about this, come on out on the second Thursday of each month to Louisville Grows' film series. Coming up Thursday, July 12th at 5:30 at the Healthy House, it's the film Resilience. Also, speaking of Louisville Grows and the Healthy House, on Saturday, July 14th at 10 a.m., it's Pilates and Bees up on the roof of the Louisville Grows Healthy House, 1641 Portland Avenue. Join us for a Pilates class on Louisville Grows Green Roof, led by Robbie, a certified group fitness and Pilates instructor for over 3 years. Pilates is an exercise that focuses on the core or center of the body, and it creates long and lean muscle tone, correct alignment, and improves posture. There's a suggested donation of $5, but you're asked to please bring your own mat, and you can check out the bees that are up on the roof while you're there. For more information, go to louisvillegrows.org. Coming up Saturday, July 14th at 10 a.m., it's Breakfast, the Food Literacy Project's Iroquois Farm. The Iroquois Farm is at 1400 Bicknell Avenue in Hazelwood, just south of the Waterson off Taylor Boulevard, and you can join the Food Literacy Project at their Iroquois Farm for their free monthly breakfast events. Each event is free and open to the public. On-site activities include free farm fresh food samples, free coffee provided by Heine Brothers, activities for families and children, tasting tours of the truck farm, seed planting activities, and service learning opportunities. If you have questions, you can email info@foodliteracyproject.org or call 502-491-0072. Or come on out Saturday the 14th at 10 a.m. at Iroquois Farm, 1400 Bicknell Avenue. And finally, we wanted you to know about Develop Louisville's Office of Housing and Community Development Down Payment Assistance Home Ownership Forum, coming up Saturday the 14th at 11 a.m. to noon at the Memorial Auditorium Ballroom there at 970 South 4th Street, Louisville. The Down Payment Assistance Program is available to home buyers that are looking to purchase an existing or newly constructed home in the Louisville metro area. You do not have to be a first-time home buyer to qualify. However, all home buyers must be credit and income qualified. The meeting is free and open to the public. Lenders, realtors, and counselors are also welcome to set up a vendor table. All participants must register by 5 p.m. on July 12th, so get on the stick. Space is limited. Go to louisvilleky.gov to sign up or call 502-574-4608. And that's all the time we have for here on Sustainability Now, but I do encourage you to stay tuned to Forward Radio for a brand new program that we are piloting here on your community radio station. I'm so excited. It's called The Climate Report, featuring our new volunteer programmer, Hart Hagen, who is a man I endlessly admire for his passion, enthusiasm, energy, and knowledge when it comes to protecting our precious planet. This is a great new show, so stay tuned to Forward Radio and be inspired, my friends. You'll hear it next here on 106.5 FM, unless you're listening at midnight. If so, tune back in on Tuesday at 11 a.m. for the Climate Report right here on Forward Radio. And have a great week, everybody. I'll be back in your ears again next week.